B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to start from the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And we're going to learn about the Estrog. And many of you will have noticed that we're learning one Mishnah after the next with halachas that are very similar to each other. We started at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, Lulav, the halachas of Lulav, Gozel, Yovish, Asherah, Ira, Nidachas, Niktam, Nifritzu, etc. And then we saw Mishnah later on. When we finished learning about the Lulav, we started learning about the Hadasim on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Again, Hadas, HaGozel, Yovish, Asherah, Ira, Nidachas, and we learned about the Hadas. And then again, we learned on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis about the Arava. Again, the same things, Gazula, Yovish, Asherah, Iranidachas, etc. And now we're going to learn about the Esrog. And it's interesting, why didn't the Mishnah just put all four together and say, Lulav Esrog Adas Maravas, if it's Gozel and Yovish, Asherah, Iranidachas, etc. So Rashi actually asks this question on the bottom of the Flamed Gimel Amud Beis. And Rashi explains how in each of these Mishnayos, there's one halacha that's unique to that species. For example, the Tinehara Barazel is unique to the Lulav. There's no concept of Tinehara Barazel with the Hadasim or the Esrog or the Aravis. And Rashi goes through each of them, and he says that by the Hadas, you've got Anovav Merubav Me'alov, if you've got those berries, those grape-like fruits that are growing on the Hadasim, that doesn't apply to any of the other Minim. The Tzavtzafor we learned about, the Arova, is unique to that Arova and doesn't apply to any of the other Minim. And now in the Esrog, we're going to learn now the Halochas of Orla and Truma, which only apply to fruits, and obviously of the four species, only an Esrog is a fruit. And therefore, it's unique, and since in any case, each of these four minim have a unique halacha, therefore the Mishnah split up all the halachas and made it into four separate Mishnayos. Says the Mishnah, Lamed Daled Amud Beis, Esrog HaGozel, a stolen Esrog, and we've already learned with all the Arba minim, it's stolen of any of them is possible. Vayovish, if it's dried out, it's possible. If it's a type of Esrog that needs to be burnt, either because it's from the Asherah or it's from a city that needs to be burnt, then posel. It's posel, and we'll soon see in the Gemara why. Shel Orla. Then we know that every fruit tree, the first 3 years of the fruit tree, are called Orla. You're not allowed to eat the fruits, you're not allowed to have any benefit of the fruits. If you take an Esrog of an Orla tree, posel, it's posel. Shel truma tamea, if you have an esrog which is truma, and it's truma that became tomei, nobody's allowed to eat it, then also that esrog is possible to be used on sukkahs. The Gemara is going to explain why these halachas are the way they are. Possible, it's possible. Shel truma tahira, however, taking an esrog that is from truma, and it's tahira still, there's nothing wrong with it, then lo yitoil. We'll see why in the Mishnah, but you should not really use it. It's not appropriate to use it, and this has nothing to do with Hilchas Esrog, it's to do with the Halachas of Truma, that there are certain issues with using Truma for an Esrog. However, since in Hilchas Esrog there's no issue with it, there's no problem, and therefore if you use the Esrog, if you use the Truma Tahira for an Esrog, kosher, you are Yotza, and it's kosher. Shel Demai, if you bought an Esrog from an Am Haaretz and you don't know where all the Maestro is taken or not, and it's called Demai. There's a whole Masechus of Mishnayos and Seder Zeroyim called Masechus Demai. And the Chachomim said, even though we assume that most, even the Amei Oretz, do take Trumas and Maestros, there's a Chumrah not to use Demai fruits until you've taken a second time the Maestros that need to be retaken. If you use an Estrog of Demai, that means you haven't yet taken those extra Maestros that you should. Then Beshamai, Poislim Beshamai say, you're not Yates the Mitzvah of Lulav, or Beshilil Machshirim Beshilil say, it's okay. Shel Maisa Sheini Birushalayim. We know that there's a mitzvah that in every Shmita cycle, then year one, year two, year four, and year five, there's a concept called Maisa Sheini, which means that you take the fruits, 10% of the fruits, that's 10%, of what's left after Truma Gedoyla has been taken, which is approximately 2%, and Maaser Rishon, which is 10%, then you take another 10%, and you take it to Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it there. You have to eat it there, Batara. So if you're using, in order to use this Esrog in Yerushalayim, then Shal Maaser Sheni, again, Lo Yitoil, you shouldn't do it Lekatchila. However, im notel, if you use the Maisa Sheini Esrog, then it's kosher, but the Mishnah says b'Yerushalayim, only in Yerushalayim. And Rashi says that outside Yerushalayim, since you're not allowed to eat the fruit, you wouldn't be allowed to eat this esrog outside Yerushalayim, because Maisa Sheini has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and therefore it's not considered lochem, it's not entirely yours if you can't eat it, and therefore outside Yerushalayim it would not be okay. In Yerushalayim, it's kosher. Also chazozis. What happens if there's a type of a boil, small boil or boils which have grown onto the estrig, al ruboy, on most of the estrig, or if nitla pitmosa, if the stem that sticks up at the top of the estrig we know is the pitum, if that pitum fell off, or niklaf, or if the estrig was peeled, or nistak, or if it was split, or nika v'chosar kolshu, if there was a hole, but not just a pinhole, that nothing was lost or taken away from the estrog. A type of hole that chosar kolshu, that it's now missing part of the estrog, part of the flesh of the estrog has been taken away. Possel, in these cases, it's possel. However, if also chazozis al mi'utoi, if this boils just on a minority of the area of the estrog, or not al uktsoi, or if the part of the branch, the base of the estrog, the part which is attaches the estrog to the tree, if that came off, or nikei v'loi chosar kol shu, if there's a hole in the estrog, but a hole that did not remove any of the flesh, in those cases, kosher, it's kosher. Estrog hakushi, a black estrog typically grown in the land of Kush, posel is posel. V'hayorik kikarati. However, an estrog that's very dark green, green like a leek, Reb Meir says it's kosher, Reb Yehuda poisel, Reb Yehuda says it's posel. Shiur estrog, hakotten, what's the smallest measure of an estrog that smaller than it would render the estrog as invalid for arba minim? Reb Meir oimer ke'egiz, Reb Meir says the size of a nut, Reb Yehuda oimer ke'beitz, Reb Yehuda says the size of an egg. Ubegodil, how big is the largest size estrog that one's allowed to use? In order that he can hold two of such a type of estrogim in one hand, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and we've already learned about this on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be able to hold an estrog plus something else in your hand. We saw in the Gemara, because you may want to switch over, if by mistake you took the lulav and the estrog in the wrong hand, you may want to switch them over. If the estrog is too big, it might fall, drop, and become possible. Rabbi Yossi says, Afilo echot b'shtei yadov, he says, there's no such issue, there's no problem, even if you have an esrog that you need two hands to hold the esrog, it's still kosher. Says the Gemara, top of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, Tonu Rabbonon, it says in the Chumash, in the Pasuk, U'lekachtem lachem b'yoyim arishoin, pre-eitz hodor, kapis, tomorim, manafitz, ovoiz v'arvi nachal, u'smachtem lifnei Hashem elekeichem, shivas yomim. The esrog in the Torah is referred to a pre-eitz hodor. Hodor means a beautiful fruit. That's typically what the word hodor would mean. However, we're going to have to learn from this posuk, from the word eitz, or from the word pre-eitz, the wood of the tree, the fruit of the tree. We'll have to see what that means. And hodor, we're going to have to learn from here something that teaches us what the nature of this fruit is. We all know it's an estrog, but it doesn't actually say in the Chumash, take an estrog. It says, take pre-eitz hodor. Well, what would that be? Says the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. And we're going to learn now Braisa, which has got three parts to it, and the Gemara is going to split it up, and in each part the Gemara is going to discuss the part of the Braisa before continuing with the next part of the Braisa. First part of the Braisa says pre-eitz hodor. What is a pre-eitz hodor? Is eitz, it's a type of wood, shetam eitzoi upirioi shove. If it's a pre-eitz, it's a fruit of a tree, which means that the taste of the fruit and the taste of the wood is the same. Havoimer ze estrog, that's what the Tanakam in the Braisa says, that which fruit that has the wood of that fruit tree tastes the same as the fruit itself, that's an estrog. That's how we know that the nature of pre-eitz hodor is an estrog. Asks the Gemara, I've got another type of growth, another type of, let's call it a fruit, that it grows on a bush, it's a very low type of tree, but it's another type of fruit, which also the fruit and the tree of that fruit has the same taste. So maybe an estrog is not what we know as an estrog, but it's that fruit. Says this is the Gemara now asking. Ve'ema, if you say the source that an estrog is an estrog, because it says pre-eitz, and pre eitz means that tam eitz yo pirei shaveh. Ve'ema pilpilin, maybe it's talking about peppers. K'detanya, we learned in a braisa hoya rab meya oimir. Mimashma shenema. From the fact that it says in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk actually reads as follows. V'chisavoyu el ha'oretz unetatem, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, unetatem, and you'll plant, kol eitz machol, any fruit tree. V'araltem or losu es piri yishol yishonim, and the first 3 years the fruits will be considered arlo. It would be considered arlo, you shouldn't eat it. So the Mishnah here says, lo ye'ochil, you're not allowed to eat the fruits. So that's very clearly telling us that with the Pasuk is talking about a fruit tree. But early on in the Pasuk it says, onatatem kol eitz machol, if you're going to plant a fruit tree. Why doesn't it just say, if you plant a tree, then its fruits are arlo for the first 3 years? That's not what it says. So the Braisa asks that, onatatem kol eitz. If it will just say onatatem kol eitz, and at the end of the Pasuk it will say, lo ye'ochil, ein yo'idea shu eitz machol, is that not sufficient to tell me we're talking about a fruit tree? Ma Talmud Leima, why does the Chumash have to tell us eitz machol, that it's a fruit tree? Says the Braisa, because the Pasuk is coming to impress on us that we're talking that even a type of tree, an eitz, shetam eitz or yopiri yishoveh, that even such a type of tree, which is the fruit that grows on it, and the tree itself has the same taste. Have oimer zu pilpilin, and the Braisa says this is talking about peppers. And lelamdoch, the pasuk is coming to tell us she pilpilin chayovin ba'orlo, that pilpilin, that peppers are chayovin orlo. And by the way, the pasuk is also telling us that if you see that, and this is only applies in Eretz Yisrael, if you see that in Eretz Yisrael there's even pepper trees growing, then it's telling us ve'ein Eretz Yisrael chaseru klum, there's nothing lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Eretz Hashaloi b'miskenus toichal bolechem loisech sar koil bo. There's nothing lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Hashavah Neo Barazel u'miharoreo tachzoiv nechoishes. So what do you see from here? That the pilpilin, a pepper, is also tam eitz yopiri yishoveh. So coming back to estrog, who says that pre-eitz hador is what we know as an estrog? Maybe pre-eitz hador is a pepper. Says the Gemara Hossam, in the case of, that means if you would want to entertain the idea that pre-eitz hador is a pepper, mishum dolo efshar. It's not possible that that's what pre-eitz hador means. Because heicha navid, how would you take this pepper? Ninkoit chod, you're going to take one pepper seed or one pepper kernel? Lo minkra lukichoso. The pasuk says, lukachtem, the form species have to be taken. It has to be recognizable that you're taking it. This is a single pepper kernel is so small that it's not a significant type of lukicha, taking. Ninkoit treot losi, you're going to say, take a few? We already learned previously in the Mishnah on the Flamed Daled Amud Beis, you only take a single estrog, a single pre-eitz hodor. So if you take a single pre-eitz hodor, assuming that it would be a pepper, it would be too insignificant to be called a velakachtem. Hilkoch lo efsha, therefore it cannot be that tam eitz yopiri yishoveh is referring to the pilpilin, it must be referring to what we know as the estrog. That was the Tanakama of the Braisa, that the source that pre-eitz hodor is an estrog is because it's tam eitz yopiri yishoveh. Continues the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, a second opinion in the Braisa. Rebbe says the source is al tikra hodor. The Pasuk says pre-eitz hodor. Don't call it hodor as in beautiful. That's what it means. But don't read it that way. Elo, you should read it also, elo hadir. That it's a type of fruit that has a similarity to a pen, an animal pen. Ma'adir zeh, in the same way as an animal pen, yesh bo gdoilim uktanim, tmimim ubali mumin. In a single pen, you typically have larger animals, smaller animals, unblemished animals with blemished animals. Hachanami, so too, the pre-eitz hodor is a type of fruit, sheyesh bo gdoilim uktanim, that this species of fruits has large fruits and small fruits, tmimim whole fruits, ubali mumin, and blemished fruits. That's what the Rebbe says in the Braisa. The Gemara is asking on this now. Otu shar peiris, take a typical apple tree. Lespu gdoilim uktanim tmimim umbalimumim. Every apple tree has big apples and small apples, whole apples and blemished apples. So why would you see in the pre-eitz hodor the similarity between the pre-eitz hodor and the animal pen that it's an estrog? It could be any fruit. Elohochikoma. The Gemara says what Rebbe said was as follows. That it's not that there's big fruits and small fruits. No. It's that when the new produce comes, when the new set of fruits come, the new harvest of fruits comes, the old harvest, which is the big ones, are still on the tree. That's exceptionally rare. An apple tree has a season. The next season, when the new apples come, there's no apples left from the previous season. And the one exception to that is the estrig. By the time the new years or the new batch of estrogim grow, the old batch are still there. The big estrogim are still on the tree. That's how Rebbe understood that from the word hodor, meaning or being similar to an animal pen, to a deer. Rebbe Avo comes to the same conclusion, the same type of understanding, just he doesn't say hodor comes from the word hadir, which is an animal pen. Rather, al tikra hodor elo hador dovor shador beilonoi mishono lishono. That he says that the word hodor means hador, that dwells, the type of fruit that dwells on the tree for 2 or 3 years. So whenever a new batch of asraikim start growing, the old batch are still on the tree. So he comes to the same conclusion as Rebbe, that the source that creates hodor is an estrog, is because an estrog is a tree that the old estrogim don't fall off before the new ones come and start growing. Just Rebbe learnt it from saying hodor is hadir, and Rebbe Avohu said it from hodor being hador, that dwells, mishono lishono. Continues the Braisa, the third opinion in the Braisa, Benazai Oimir, al tikra hodor elo idur. The word creates hodor can be read similar to the word idur, shekein belosh nivoni, in the Greek language, koirin lemayim idur, water is called idur. So creates hodor means a fruit that grows or that needs a lot of water. Which fruit grows and needs a lot of water, grows on, near, and needs a lot of water, have oimer as the estrog, it's the estrog. So this is three different opinions in the Braisa as to from where we would see in the Pasuk that the pre-eitz hador is the estrog. Continues the Gemara, shel asherov shel ir hanidachas pasul, we saw in the Mishnah, on the flamadaladom base regarding estrog, and we've seen this already with all the other four species, that shel asherah or shel ira nidachas is possible, and the Gemara has previously explained that asherah is asherah shel Moshe, a type of avodah zarah that has to be burnt. So why would that create or make an estrog or any of the other minim as being possible? My tama says the Gemara, kivun de l'sreifu koi, since the halacha is it has to be burnt, kitusei mechtus shiurei. We view it as if it's already burnt. The kol ha'omed lisoreif kasoruf domi, Rashi explained. And since it's, so to speak, or virtually speaking, considered as burnt, if it's burnt, it doesn't have a minimum measure. And we know that the minim, all these four species, have a minimum measure. Whether it's the three tvachim of the hadasim naravus, whether it's the four tvachim of the lulav, or the size of an estrog we saw in the Mishnah, the flamadalad on the base, if it's viewed as burnt, it has no measure, and therefore it's possible. Continues the Gemara, shel or lo possible. If you take an estrog, which is osur b'achila and osur b'hanah, which is in the first 3 years, which is called orlo, it's possible you cannot use it on sukkahs. Maitam, what would be the reason for this? Who cares that it's osur b'hanah? Mitzvahs lav lehonis nitnu. We're not trying to have benefit from it, we're just trying to do a mitzvah with it. And so what, that it's osur b'hanah? So maitam, why would it be possible? Says the Gemara, Pligi bar Reb Chiya bar Ovin v'Reb Asi, there's a machlekes Reb Chiya and Reb Asi. Chad Omer, Reb Chiya holds, we'll soon see later where I know this is Reb Chiya, but Reb Chiya holds that the reason is, Lefi she'ein bo heter achila. Since it says, V'lokachtem lochem, you have to take for you, that means that this esrog has to be yours, you have to be able to have all the pleasures of it. And the basic pleasure that you would have from a fruit is that you can eat it. And since you cannot eat this orla fruit, therefore it's not considered lochem, and it's posel. V'chad Omar, Reb Asi holds, l'fi she'ein bo din momin. Reb Asi holds that the lochem, when it says v'lokachtem lochem, it has to be yours. He doesn't say that it's, at this point we'll assume, he doesn't say that you have to be able to eat it. He says it has to belong to you. It has to be worth money. It has to have some monetary value. And since it's also b'hanah, it's got no monetary value. It's not considered lochem, and therefore it's posel. So the Gemara says, Kasol kodaita. At this point in the Gemara, we assume that man de boya heta achila loy boya din momin. Reb Chiya, who says that the main issue is that it should be edible, doesn't need to be that it belongs to you. It's possible for something that does not belong to you and you're allowed to eat it. What would that be? That would be, for example, Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni you're allowed to eat, there's a mitzvah to eat it. And according to Rab Meir, it's not called your money. According to Rabban, the Chachomim is called your money. According to Rab Meir, it's not called your money. If you want to be Mekadesh and Isha, you want to marry a woman using Maisa Sheni, she won't be Mekudeshes according to Rab Meir. So according to this opinion, the main thing is that it's Heta Achila. And it doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to belong to you, a monetary, it doesn't need to have any monetary value. And therefore, according to this opinion, then even according to Rab Meir, if you use an esrog of Maisa Sheni, it would be kosher. Uman de boya din momin, loy boya heta achila. And the opinion that says it has to have monetary value, it doesn't need to actually be ro'i le'achila. So anything which is osur ba'achila and muta ba'hana has monetary value and is not ro'i le'achila. For example, tevel. Produce, fruits that have not been taken, trumas and maishas, they're not osur ba'hana. They're just not allowed to eat them. According to this opinion, as long as it's worth money, which means it's not osur ba'hana, if you used an estrog of tevel, it would be kosher, according to this opinion. That's what we assume at this point in time. Says the Gemara, t'nan we learnt in a Mishnah. In our Mishnah here on Lamadala Domad Base, shall truma tumea psula, if you use an estrog, which is truma tumea, is possible you're not yet to the mitzvah. So Gemara is now saying, if you say, like Reb Chiya said, that the main thing is that the estrog, in order for it to be considered lochem, it has to be ro'i le'achila. Shapir, then I can understand very well why an estrog of truma tumea is possible. You're not allowed to eat it. According to Reb Asi, who says that the reason that orla estrog is possible is because it's got no monetary value, then in the case of truma tumea, it's not osur ba'hana. And why should it be possible? Hari masiko tachas tavshilo. The halacha is you're allowed to take truma tumea and burn it in the fire under a pot that's cooking. You're allowed to have hana from it. You're allowed to burn it there. So if you're allowed to have hana from it, then according to Reb Asi, it should be kosher. Why does the Mishnah say that it's possible? Elo says the Gemara, beheta achila kule alma loy pligi de be'inon. The Gemara is changing from what we said before. Everybody says you have to be able to eat the estrog in order for it to be considered lochem. And therefore, in the case of truma tumea, everybody agrees. And in the case of tevel, everybody agrees you're not yoitza. Ki pligi, where they're arguing, bedin momoin. For example, maisa sheni according to Rav Meir, where you're allowed to eat it, but it's not called your money. You wouldn't be allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha with it. Do you, besides for needing to be able to eat the estrog, does it also have to have monetary value to you or not? Mar Sovar, Heta Achila Be'inon, Din Mamin Lei Be'inon. Reb Chiya learns, all you need is Heta Achila. If you can eat it, it's Lochem and it's kosher. So Maisa Sheini, according to Reb Meir, which is not considered momin, his momin, it's called momin gevaya. It's as if the money belongs to Hashem. It's just that it's a mitzvah for you to eat it. Then he'll still be kosher. Umar Sovar, but according to Reb Asi, din momin nami be'inon. Besides for an esrog being able to have to be able to be eaten, it also has to have monetary value. And therefore, in the case of Maisa Sheini, according to Reb Meir, you'd not be yaitza, because according to Reb Meir, it's momin gevaya, it's not your money. My Beinayu, the difference, the halachic difference between Reb Chiya Barovin and Reb Asi is exactly what we said. Ike Beinayu, Maisa Sheini b'Yerushalayim alibud Reb Meir, whether you're allowed to use an esrog of Maisa Sheini in Yerushalayim, according to Reb Meir. According to the Rabbanon, Maisa Sheini is called Momin Hedyot. It belongs to the person, to the owner, and therefore not only is it edible, he's allowed to eat it, it's a mitzvah to eat it there, it's also his money. And therefore, everybody would say that you're yoitza. But according to Reb Meir, who says that it's momin gevaya, then that's going to be the machlokes. Lemando Omar she'in bo heta achila, according to Reb Chiya, who says that the main issue is the heta achila, and the reason in orlo estrog is you're not yoitza is because you're not allowed to eat it. Hariyesh bo heta achila. Everybody says you're allowed to eat maisa she'in in Yerushalayim. Lemando Omar lefi she'in bo din momin. But according to Reb Asi, who says that it also has to have monetary value to you, then Maisa Sheini Momin Gevoyahu, according to Reb Meir, Maisa Sheini is considered as belonging to Hashem, so to speak, to Gevoyah, and therefore is not considered your money, and you're not Yoitza Estrog with it. And now the Gemara is saying, Testayim, I'll bring you proof to Rabbi Asi, the Omar Lefisha'in Bodin Momoin. It's Rabbi Asi who says that the estrog also has to belong to you. It has to have monetary value to you, and it's not good enough that you can eat it. And then it must be Rabbi Chiya Bar Ovin who said that Lefisha'in Boheter Achila, the Omar Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi said explicitly, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Asi said explicitly that according to Rabbi Meir, a person is not yotze with an estrog. And if the whole problem was that it's not ra'u la'achila by orla, then ma'isa sheni, of course it's ra'u la'achila. Why would he not be yotze? So you see from here that according that Rabbi Asi understood, it's not good enough that you can eat it, it also has to have monetary value. And according to Rabbi Meir, there's no monetary value because it's mamin gevoya. However, according to the Chachomim who say that Ma'isa Sheini in Yerushalayim is not considered mamin gevoya, it's considered mamin hediot, it's yours, you can be mekadesh and isha with it. You can be yotze the mitzvah of estrog on Yom Tov with it. So this is the proof that Rabbi Asi is the one that says that the estrog also has to belong to you. Continues the Gemara Gufa. And now we're going to see a number of different halachas that the halachas require lochem, that it's yours, and it has to have monetary value. At least according to Rabbi Asi, it has to have monetary value to you, and according to Rabbi Meir, Ma'isa Sheini is not considered monetary value because it's momoin gavoya. Omer Rabbi Asi, the first of the halachas is Esrog shel Ma'isa Sheini, which we just said now was a machlekes Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Asi. Ledivir Reb Meir, we're now talking Rabbi Asi, this is Rabbi Asi speaking. Ledivir Reb Meir, who says that lochem means that it has monetary value, according to Reb Meir, that Ma'isa Sheini is Momin Gevoya, ain't not a mitzvah by Dei Chivosa Biyomtev. Ledivir Chachomim, according to the Chachomim, who say it's Momin Hedyot, it belongs to you, or the mitzvah by Dei Chivosa Biyomtev. Of course, you can be Yitzah with such an Esrog on Yomtev. That was the first halacha by Esrog. Another halacha, and we learned about this in Psachim Daf Lamed Ches. Matzah shel Ma'isa Sheini. What happens if you want to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah on the first night of Pesach with a matzah of Ma'isa Sheini? It was made of flour that was brought to Yerushalayim as Ma'isa Sheini. So ledivri Reb Meir ein odem yotze bo yidei chivasi b'Pesach. According to Reb Meir, that Ma'isa Sheini, it's a mitzvah to eat it, but it's not yours. It's considered Hashem's. It's momin gevoya. You're not allowed to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with such a matzah. Redivrei Chachomim, however, according to the Chachomim, we say that Ma'isa Sheini is momin hediot, odem yotze by yidei chivasi b'Pesach. Another halacha, iso shel Ma'isa Sheini. If you have a dough of Ma'isa Sheini, made of the flour of Ma'isa Sheini, ledivrei Reb Meir p'tura min hachala. We know that if you make a sizable dough, and there's a whole Masechta in Zorai, Maseches Chala, with all the details, but if you make a dough that is large enough, that complies with halachas of Chala, you have to take away part of the Chala. It has halachas similar to Truma, you have to give it to the Kohen. Nowadays, where we don't give it to the Kohen, because the Kohenim are Tameim, and the dough is assumed to be Tomei, so anyone who's ever made Chala knows you have to separate the Chala, and it gets burnt, it gets put away. So either way, according to Reb Meir, if you have a dough that's made of Ma'isa Sheini, you're potter from Chala. Because only a type of dough that's yours, we'll soon see where we learn this from, but only a type of dough that's yours is Chayev on Chala. The Divrei Chachomim, according to the Chachomim, that Ma'isa Sheini is yours, it's considered yours, it's Momin Hedyot, Chayev es b'Chala, if such a type of dough, would be Chayev Chala. That's what we saw from Rav Asi, three halachas, Esrog, Matzah, and Chala. Maskev Lav Papa. Rav Papa is now questioning this. Bishlei Ma'isa, regarding a dough of Ma'isa Sheini for Chala. Ksiv, I can understand, it has to be yours, according to Rav Asi, and if there's no monetary value, you're potter. Because Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Reishis Arisa Yiseichem, Chala Torimu Truma Ketrumas Geren Kein Torimu Oisa. The Pasuk says that you take Chala on Reishis Arisa Yiseichem, if it's your dough. So Rav Asi says, it has monetary value to you, it's considered yours, and therefore Rashi maintains that a dough of Ma'isa Sheini, according to Reb Meir, will be part of Mchala. Esrog Nami, Esrog we also know. Ksiv, it says Lochem, it says V'lokachtem Lochem, Mishel Lochem. Elo Matzah, but Matzah of Ma'isa Sheini, that Rashi says that according to Reb Meir, you're not Yoitza. Miksiv Matzaschem, did you find anywhere in the Torah it says Matzah has to be yours? Does it say you eat Matzaschem? It says you should eat Matzah. Omar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Vitamer of Yemer Bar Shlamya, we learn Gzera Shova. Asio lechem. Lechem, we actually learn the halachos of matzah from the halachos of challah. Ksiv hocha, it says regarding matzah, lechem oini, it's called bread, bread of affliction. Uchsiv, and it says regarding in the parasha of challah, it says, ksiv hosom, v'hoya ba'ochlochem milechem ha'oret torimu truma l'Hashem. That regarding challah, it also calls challah lechem. Ma'al halon, in the same way as challah, we know it's mishelochem, you only chayev to take challah from a dough which is yours, as we said before, from the word arisoi seichem, v'loi mishel maisa, but if it belongs to maisa sheni, according to Reb Meir, then you don't take challah. Afkan so too regarding matzah, which is called lechem, we learn gzeira shava. Matzah from challah, mishelochem v'loi mishel maisa, you can only be mekayim, the mitzvah of matzah, if it's yours, and not if it belongs to maisa sheni, according to Reb Meir. Says the Gemara, Leima Masaele, can we suggest a proof to Rav Asi? The Rav Asi says that according to Reb Meir, that says that Maisa Sheini is Momin Gevoya, it's not considered Lochem, and you'll be potter from Chala. What does it say? Because it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Isa Shal Maisa Sheini, if you have a dough of Maisa Sheini, Ptura Min Achalo Divir Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that it's potter from Chala. The Chachamim say you chayev chala. Why is Reb Meir say you're potter from chala? Because he holds that Maisa Sheini is Momin Gevoya. Momin Gevoya is not called yours. You don't know chiyuv chala. The Chachamim say it's called Momin Hedyot. Therefore, it's yours. You're chayev chala. So the Gemara says that's explicit. Leima Masayele. You're trying to say maybe let's suggest that there's a proof from this brisa to what Rav Asi says that according to Reb Meir, a dough of Maisa Sheini is potter from Chalais, the Braisa says explicitly. It's exactly what the Rav Asi said. It says in the Braisa. What's the Lema Masayele? Says the Gemara, of course, regarding Chalais in the Braisa. The Rav Asi said three halachas. He said Chala, he said Matzah, and he said Eshug. So we're saying that maybe we have proof from this Braisa. Rav Asi gave a suggestion. Now that we have an explicit braisa regarding challah, maybe it's also proof to what Rav Asi says regarding the other halachas as well of esrog and matzah. But then it's obviously not 100% clear. There obviously must be a reason to differentiate between challah and esrog and matzah. Otherwise, again, there would be no leima maseyele. So it must be that it's similar, and we suggest that it might be a proof, but it doesn't have to be that it's a proof. What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to say, Elo, mida ha pligi, baha nami pligi. The suggestion was, will we say that in the same way as the Braisa there says that the Chachomim and Reb Meir arguing whether dough of Maisa Sheini is chayev on chala or not, so too they'll also argue regarding matzah and esrog, and that will be proof to Rav Asi said. Oitilmo, maybe no. Shani Isa, maybe this dough is different. The dough is Shanem Akra, and the Pasuk by Chal, it says twice Arisai Seichem. Arisai Seichem, Arisai Seichem. Once it says Rashis Arisai Seichem, Chalo Torimu Truma, Kitrumas Gairan, Kain Torimu Oisa. And then there's another Pasuk that says Mirashis Arisai Seichem, Titnu Lashem, Truma Lodero Seichem. Twice it says Arisai Seichem, twice it says it has to be your dough. Trezim, no, two times. Maybe only the Arab Meir says that if it's not yours, then you're potter from challah. But maybe Reb Meir will agree regarding matzah and regarding esrog. Maybe in that case, even Reb Meir will say you can be yotzei with Maisa Sheini. So it's not 100% clear. Reb Asi obviously held that it was the same. He said explicitly that Reb Meir in all three cases says it's not called lochem. But when the Gemara says leima maseyele, that was the question of the Gemara. Is there room to differentiate between challah and esrog and matzah or not? And the Gemara is suggesting a proof from that braisa, and it's only a suggestion because there could be room to differentiate. Continues the Gemara, Shel Truma Tamea Psula, we saw in the Mishnah on Lamadala Domit Base, that if you take an esrog of Truma Tamea, it's possible. Why? Delesbo Heta Achila, says the Gemara, we just now saw in Daf Lamadala Domit Aleph. Everybody agrees that an esrog, you can only be yotze if it's lochem, and the minimum requirement of, or the minimum, the point that determines whether it's called lochem is that you can eat it, and truma tume you're not allowed to eat. Everybody says it's not called lochem. We just saw machlekas Reb Chiya and Reb Asi where it also has to have monetary value, but everybody agrees that if you could not eat the esrog, it's possible. V'shel truma tahira lo yitoil. The Mishnah said on Amud Daled Amud Beis, don't use an esrog of truma tahira for the arba minim. The question is why? What's wrong with it? Pligi borb ami verbasi it's a machlekas. Chad Omar, one opinion holds mipnei shem machshira, because they were typically used to taking the lulav with adasim and aravas and placing them in water. We're going to learn about this on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And since when they remove the lulav, there's dampness on it, there's water on it. And if water gets onto a fruit, it makes it susceptible to be able to be mekabel tuma. If water would never touch a fruit, even if a sheretz would touch the fruit, it wouldn't become tummy. However, if once the water has touched the fruit, it's now able to become tummy. In the same way as you're not allowed to make truma tummy, you're also not allowed to make, I shouldn't say in the same way, but similar to the fact that you're not allowed to make truma tummy, which is learned from a pasuk, then so too you should not make truma be susceptible to be mekabel tummy by making it wet. And since using an esrog is inevitably going to, or could make it wet, don't use the esrog of truma tahira. If you used it, there's nothing wrong. There's no halacha in Hilchas Esrog not to use it. In Hilchas Truma, you should protect the fruits of Truma that they should not be able to become tummy by making sure they stay dry. And therefore, don't use an Esrog for Arba Minim. You used it, it's Yetzah. The Chad Omar, Bipnei Shemafsido. The other opinion says the reason that you shouldn't use Truma Tahira for an Esrog is because you're using the Esrog and you're touching it for a whole week, and therefore it's going to become, at least the outer peel, is going to become ruined. And there's halacha, like you're not allowed to make truma tummy, you're also not allowed to ruin it. And over here, just using it is ruining it, and therefore we prefer that one doesn't use truma tahira for an estrog. My benayu, what's going to be the difference between whether the reason that you shouldn't use an estrog of truma tahira is because you're being machshir lekabel tuma or because you're ruining it? Says the Gemara, going to korah le'ashem chutz miklipos or chitzayna. What happens if a person says, I only want the inner flesh of this estrog to be truma? Person can do that. And he says, I don't want the outer peel to be considered truma. Then the outer peel is not truma. So lemando amam ipnei shemachshira, the opinion that says that using the estrog of truma tahira is an issue because it's going to get wet and then the whole estrog can become tamei, then that's going to apply here as well. Since the outer, even though the outer layer, the peel of the estrog is not truma, but since the outer layer became susceptible to mekabel tuma, the whole fruit is now susceptible to becoming tamei. So, leman d'omem pnei shemachshira, ikka, that concern is still there. Leman d'omem pnei shemafsida, but the reason that said you shouldn't use truma tahira because you're ruining truma, leka, that concern is not here, because you're not ruining truma tahira. You're only ruining the outer peel of the estrog, and the outer peel is not truma. Continues the Gemara, v'imnot al kshera, if you did use truma tahira, estrog, it's kosher. Why? Like we said before, because the only thing that would make, or in this context, the only thing that would make an estrog not kosher is if it's either not edible, according to one opinion, or if it's not got monetary value, according to the other opinion. So leman d'omar she'ein bo heter achila, the opinion that says that orlo is possible because you cannot eat it, hariyesh bo heter achila, you're using truma tahira, it can be eaten. And for Kohen, it can definitely be eaten. Even for Yisrael, Rashi says it can be eaten because he could give it to his, if his daughter married a Kohen, then his grandson is a Kohen, he can give it to his grandson to eat. And there's a discussion why Rashi had to go so far, why Rashi had to say that. Tosfos has a bit of a different way of looking at it, but that's what Rashi says here. Leman d'omar lefi she'ein bo din mamon, the opinion that said that orla was possible was because it has no monetary value, hariyesh bo din mamon. Truma tayer, of course it's got monetary value for the Kohen. It's not like Maisa Sheni according to Reb Meir, which is mamon gavoya, and according to Reb Meir, you cannot be mekadosh and isha with money of Maisa Sheni, or with anything of Maisa Sheni. By Truma, the Truma Torah, of course it belongs to you. And if you're Mekadosh Nisha with it, she'll be Mekudeshes. So it's got monetary value. So there's no reason in Halachos of Estrog not to be able to use such an Estrog. Continues the Gemara, Vashel Demai, that regarding using an Estrog which was Demai, as we saw in the Mishnah, that Machlekes Beshamai Poislin, or Beshilel Machshirim, says the Gemara, my Tamar de Beis Hillel, what would be the source of Beis Hillel to say that you're allowed to use an esrog of Demai? You cannot eat it. The Chachomim said, don't eat it until you've taken the relevant Trumas and Maestras. And you haven't taken them. It's called Demai. So why are you Yoitza? Says the Gemara, Kivan di Iboye Mafke Luhule Nechosi, since this person, theoretically, he could declare all his all his possessions as ownerless, he could make them hefka. And then he would have the status of being a poor man. Since the demai is only a chumra derabonon, the chachomim said that regarding poor people, they never made this chumra. A poor person is allowed to eat demai. So technically speaking, this person could eat it were he to renounce the ownership of all his possessions. It's not only poor people, it's also nachsanya, which is the traveling soldiers, that for them also, since it's incumbent upon the people to sustain them, then they said they're allowed to eat demai. So hashtanami lochen korinon beis. Even now that he's not a poor person, you can't say it's something you cannot eat, and therefore it's kosher. That's Beis Hillel Ditnan, because we learned in a Mishnah, Maseches Demai, Machilin Esa'aniyim Demai, Besachsanya Demai, one's allowed to give poor people and the traveling soldiers demai to eat. Ubeis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, Oni lo ochel demai. Beis Shammai says it wouldn't help. Even if you would become a poor man, you're not allowed to eat demai. Beis Shammai argue with Beis Hillel and say that a poor man is not allowed to eat demai. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah, Machilin Esa'aniyim Demai, Besachsanya Demai. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. One's allowed to give a poor man and the soldiers demai. V'omer Rav Huna says that Tana, there was a brisa said on this Mishnah that Beis Shammai Umrim Ein Machilin Esa'aniyim Besachsanoyim Demai. Beis Shammai argued and said, you do not give poor people and the soldiers demai. Beis Hillel Umrim Machilin Esa'aniyim Demai Besachsanoyim Demai. It's only Beis Hillel who say you're allowed to give the poor people and the soldiers demai. So according to Beis Hillel, that poor people can eat demai, therefore even a rich person who theoretically could make himself into a poor person, the estrog is considered edible, and he's yaitza. According to Beis Shammai, that demai is not edible for a poor person, therefore he's not yaitza estrog with such an estrog. Continues the Gemara, v'shal ma'isa sheni b'Yerushalayim, we saw in the Mishnah, similar to Truma Tahira, we saw regarding Ma'isa Sheini that lo yitoil, you shouldn't use such an esrog lekatchila v'im not al kosher, but if you used it, it's kosher. So the Gemara says, the reasoning behind Ma'isa Sheini in Yerushalayim is exactly the same as Truma. Same way as we saw with Truma, there's a chiyuv to make sure that Truma doesn't get spoiled, and there's a chiyuv to make sure Truma doesn't become tomei. The same is true about Ma'isa Sheini in Yerushalayim. Leman Doma Mepnei Shemachshira, the opinion that says that Ma'isa, that Truma Tahira you shouldn't use because you're making it susceptible to be able to become tomei. Hari Machshira, you're doing the same to Ma'isa Sheini, and you shouldn't do that. Leman Doma Mepnei Shemafsida, the opinion that says that you shouldn't use an estrog of Truma Tahira because the outer skin is becoming ruined. Harim Mafsida, you're doing the same to Ma'isa Sheini, you're not allowed to destroy Ma'isa Sheini. And Vim not al kosher, the Mishnah says, if you use an esrog of Ma'isa Sheini, kshera, it's kosher, as we said before. Leman doma b'pnei she'ein bo heter achila, the opinion that says that something being edible is a prerequisite to be able to be used for an esrog, divrei akil, then everybody says that Ma'isa Sheini is kosher, not only Rav Meir. Everybody says that Ma'isa Sheini is a mitzvah to eat it. There's a mitzvah to eat it. That's what Ma'isa Sheini is. Take it to Shulayim and eat it there. Leman to'oma lefi she'ein bo din momo, in the opinion that says the reason you should not use or cannot use an estrog of orlo is because it doesn't have monetary value. Homani rabononi. Then Ma'isa Sheini is, when the Mishnah says Ma'isa Sheini kshera, is the opinion of the Rechachomim who say that Ma'isa Sheini is considered that it's yours, it's mom and hediot, and if it's yours, then it's lochem. But according to this opinion we saw before, according to Reb Asi, that says that it has to be your money, then according to Reb Meir, who says that Ma'isa Sheini is not considered mom and hediot, it's considered mom and gevaya, indeed you would not be able to use an estrog of Ma'isa Sheini, as he explicitly said at the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. And when the Mishnah says that Ma'isa Sheini am not al kshera, is obviously not following Rav Meir, it's the Rabbonon. Continues the Gemara, the next point in the Mishnah, also chazozis, if a boil grew onto the estrog, then we saw that if it's on ruboy, if it's on most of the estrog, then it's possible, but if it's only on a minority of the estrog, then it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Tovo ze Rabbeinu Agadol Omru, our great rabbi, Rav, said this, Hamokim ye be'ezra, Hashem should always protect him and help Rav. Lo yishonu, what did Rav say? That this is only true, ele b'mokim echod. When do we say that also chazozis? That when there's a boil on the estrog, that it's possible, it's only if it's in one place. If it's one place covering the majority of the estrog, then it's possible. But if there's boils in two or three places on the estrog, not just in one place, kosher, then it's kosher. Omele Rava, Rav asked a question against Rav Chisda, and he says, Adarab, on the contrary, B'shnayim u'shleisha mekaymis habileikam anumar u'pasol. We know that if there's a discoloration in parts of the esrog, and we're talking here about, it's not only a discoloration, but if you have these boils on a few spots, a few places, it's like manumar, it looks like a leopard, it's spotted, it's dotted. And it's, you know, if it's a speckled type of esrog, is pasul, it's not hador. We're going to learn about this on Daf Lamed Vav. Eloi itmar asefa itmar. That what Rav Chisda actually said, it was not on also chazozis, on ruboy, which is pasul. What Rav Chisda said in the name of Rav was actually in the sefa, when it says al mi'uta ikosher, that if there's a boils on the minimum, on the minority part of the esrog, that's where Omer of Chizda Dovazer Rabbeinu Agodl Omri, Rav said the following, Amokim Yeh Be'ezra, Hashem should always be with him, that Lo Yishonu, when do we say that if the Chazazis, if the boils are on the minority of the Esrog, that it's kosher, then Elo B'mokim Echad, only if it's in one place. Avul B'shnayim U'shleisha Mekoymais, if it's, even though it's on the minority of the overall area of the Esrog, but if it's spotted in a few places, Havalei K'manumer, the Esrog is considered as spotted, it's not Hadar U'pasol, and the Esrog will be possible. Omar Rava, and Rava said, Valchoitmoy, but on the nose of the Esrog, on the top part of the Esrog, Rashi says it's on the part where it's sloping, where the top of the Esrog starts sloping towards the point in the middle. Then a filler b'mashul, since it draws people's attentions and everyone is seeing it, so the details of Hodor are much more brought out there. And therefore, filler b'mashul, even the smallest chazazis, which is on the top of the Esrog, nami posel, it's also posel. Continues the Gemara, nitla pitmosoi, if the pitum, the stem on top of the esrog, has fallen off, it's posel. Tana Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, nitla buchnosoi. Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar said, and he wasn't arguing, he was saying that nitla pitmosoi is, in terms that we understand, is buchnosoi. A buchna is a grinding tool, a little tool, a pointed tool, which is used to crush and to grind. And the pitum, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a buchna. When the buchna is removed, then it's posel. Continues the Mishnah, the Gemara, that niklaf, we saw in the Mishnah that if the esrog is peeled, if the outer layer of the esrog is peeled off, then niklaf is posel. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Hai esroigo, this esrog, the iglid that was peeled, ka'ahina sumka. And typically when you peel an esrog, as when you peel any fruit, the fruit becomes reddened. So if you peel an esrog and it now looks like a red date, k'sheira, it's kosher. Asks the Gemara, varnatna niklaf kosher. Did we not learn in the Mishnah that when you peeled esrog is posel? How can you say that an esrog that's peeled and looks now like a red date is kosher? Says the Gemara, lo kasher, it's not a question. Ha bekula, if you peeled the whole date, that the whole esrog, then it's kosher, because then it's not spotted, then it's all got a single color and it's kosher. Ha b'miktasa, however, when only part of the esrog has been peeled and only part of it looks like this reddened date, then it's similar to manumar, and it's like a discoloration, it's an esrog that doesn't look uniform, and then it's posel. And Emil Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.